Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome to another exhilarating episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm your host, Simon Fink, and today we have an extraordinary talent gracing us in our virtual studio. Joining us is the sensational R&B singer and songwriter, Baby Rose. Fresh off the heels of her critically acclaimed album Through and Through, Baby Rose returns this year with Slow Burn, a mesmerizing collection of songs that transcends boundaries and explores new sonic landscapes for the singer. With Slow Burn, Baby Rose ventures into the uncharted territory, expanding her musical horizons and embracing a raw and organic sound that captivates the soul. This new EP blends country, soul, Americana, and jazz, and was guided by the masterful production of Toronto's own Bad Bad Not Good, and it sees Baby Rose embark on a sonic journey where genres kind of collide and mash up, and creativity knows no bounds. Now, in today's episode, we have the pleasure of sitting down with Baby Rose to unravel the mysteries behind the making of Slow Burn. We'll delve into the magical collaboration between Baby Rose and Bad Bad Not Good, exploring the creative synergy that sparked in the studio and ignited a musical revolution. We'll uncover the origins of Baby Rose's songwriting journey, tracing her humble beginnings to the powerhouse artist that she is today. From her earliest musical influences to the cathartic process of crafting heartfelt lyrics, Baby Rose shares her insights into the art of storytelling through song. In a poignant moment in our conversation, we'll dive deep into the soul-stirring track Weakness, exploring the raw emotion and vulnerability that permeates every note. Baby Rose opens up about the transformative power of music in navigating dark times and finding solace in the creative process. And as a special treat for our listeners, Baby Rose will end our conversation offering her latest musical recommendations, shining a spotlight on artists like Kara Jackson, Krungbin, and Brittany Howard, each delivering their own unique blend of sonic magic. Now, before we embark on this unforgettable journey, I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to Dave for his invaluable assistance in bringing today's episode to fruition. We'll also kindly remind you that you can find the details for both Baby Rose and this very podcast in today's show notes. Make sure you follow us across all of our socials and subscribe to the podcast to not miss any of our exciting upcoming guests. So let's get into it. Here is our conversation with Baby Rose. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Jasmine Rose Wilson, aka Baby Rose. Jasmine, hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today. I very much appreciate it.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Of course, there is, it's kind of an exciting time for you at the moment. There's a brand new EP out, Slow Burn. It's out in the world right now. People can listen to it wherever they get their good music from. Firstly, congratulations on this collection of stunning songs. How are you feeling with them out in the world now?
I feel so many things. I'm just very grateful because I feel like everyone has their own favorite song from it, which just means that is a very well-balanced project. Mm. Something that always aimed to have like something cohesive and direct and to the point. It's a light project, but it's heavy though. Like people keep calling it an album, but it's only 6 records.
But you know, that's a good sign too. So I'm very happy. I feel like, you know, Bad Bad Not Good has been one of my favorite bands for forever. And when we linked up, it's like both of our DNAs just created something new altogether. Mm. And
I love it. I love that.
Yeah, it is a stunning EP. And I'm not saying that simply to be hyperbolic and because we're chatting today. It is a stunning collection of songs. And as you said, it is a collaborative EP with the Canadian jazz fusion trio. Is that what you say? Jazz fusion, I guess? Or just a mixed bag of sounds, bad, bad, not good. How did you link up with them? How did that kind of initial interaction kind of take place?
I was just having, a casual brunch with my A&R, Eddie, because we link up sometimes, just have wine or just eat or whatever, talk shit. And, I just brought up the fact that I really wanted to link with them one day, and them and Art Barbarikai. And he was like, you know what? I think they're in town. I'll just hit up, some of their folks and see what's up. And so when we were meeting, it was initially just for, an introduction. We just stopped on the studio, but I don't know. Like, I just looked at it as an opportunity for something beautiful to happen. Like, I always came to working with them. And, I just waited patiently as they were wrapping something up. When it was time, they just asked me, do you want to play anything? I played them some unreleased stuff. And they just wanted to hop out of the booth and try something. And from that session, which was all of probably 5 hours, if that, we made two records, one of them being It's All Right and the other being One Last Dance. And from there, it was up. We kind of knew that we should continue this together,
Well, I was kind of surprised having seen only last year, I think it was, that you released Through and Through, which was your brilliant second record. And so it's another release within 12 months. I guess, was there like an urgency into being able to share this music in terms of being like, cool, we've got that album, but like, this is like really special that we want to share like almost like as soon as possible?
Yeah. I mean, we wrapped the record late December because we got back in December for about a week and we made like hella other records, about 13 other records. And from that 15, we picked the five. Or six records. Just got it mixed and mastered pretty quickly. They have a slew of other records that they're trying to put out throughout the year or whatever. Like, they're just in this quality and quantity bag, which I'm completely supportive of. And that's great as well, just to be able to release the clip. Like, just let it go. Like, not be precious about records. And let them be heard, There's so much stuff that I'm sitting on that just, I want to be out in the world. And they're just changing their philosophy over it. And so I wanted to be the first out. Mm. I just wanted to, before, I know that it was like a last minute play because they'd been working on their record and all these other records for some time, but I was just like, this just feels urgent. Like, it feels like something that if you're down, like, we should just put it out. You know what I mean? And their guy, Sylvain, who's basically like their art director, they're doing visuals for them and photography and stuff like that. He flew in and he was just like taking photos and videos of the whole process. So getting the artwork and everything was just so simple. Everything was so seamless. Like, just came over my crib one day and we just took photos and stuff. And I don't know, it just felt natural, which is something that I've been craving, just that feeling of effortless alignment. Like, everything I need just happens without any real resistance. And that's how I could tell that it was bigger than me. It was bigger than them. It was just like, this needs to be heard. And I'm just very grateful that through all of the little things that could have happened, that may have been pitfalls or whatever, we got it out. We got it out into the world, and it's definitely like shifted things. Like it's changing my life low key already.
That's awesome to hear. That's always a positive to hear when it comes, especially to, or to anyone, but to an artist. There is just a beautiful quality to these songs. There's a smoky kind of almost dreamlike, I want to say, quality to a number of these songs. Was that, I know you said a lot of it kind of came easily and it kind of fell into place. Was there much of a discussion around the sonics of the EP when you kind of went in? It was just free for all.
It was definitely a free for all. We didn't really talk about what we thought it should sound like or whatever at all.
Mm.
I remember maybe the one indication was the first day we met after we made It's All Right, because that was the first song we made. When everybody was getting ready to pack up, I was like, what if we just try one more? Like, let's just try a country song. Like, fuck it. Let's just try something we never done before. And they started playing some chords, and this vivid imagery came to mind of just seeing an old friend of mine that I used to be very close with, who I had recently kind of like drifted apart, fell out, like just seeing her again and kind of what would happen. I know a lot of people think that song is about a lover, but it's really not. Like, I don't know. One of my best friends was like a sister to me, and we would go out all the time around Atlanta and get wasted and have a good ass time. And it was just like, damn, like we're so different now. So much has changed. We're older, and I know that you'll be fine if you never see me. Like if you go on in your life and you're great, and low key, I know I'll be all right too. You know, I know that those things, it will never be the same. I didn't even have a chance to write down the lyric. Like, it just kind of flowed. It's one of the most simple songs I've ever wrote for that reason. You know, it's more of a conversation than anything else. Like, what would I say to you if I saw you again?
Hmm.
And, yeah.
I would love to know, I guess, in terms of songwriting like that, has that always been something that has come to you as easy, although that kind of subject matter is quite personal? Have you found that you've always been like a personal songwriter when you've been writing your own music?
I try to be. I think those are when the best songs come, you know. I really have to be in the space. Like, it has to be the right time, the right space, and the right moment, because it also does feel like a message received versus me, like, telling my story. It feels like I'm given this gift of inspiration, and it's a flow more mm-hmm. so. But the best songs come from things that I've actually felt and experienced. Like the flow states that I remember vividly were All to Myself, which was off my first record. There was another record, August 5th. And then there were other ones like off Through and Through, like Nightcap and Stop the Bleeding. Records like that were like, it just didn't even feel like any force at all. It was just a flow state. And One Last Dance was definitely one of them. With all of these, because of the process being on tape and being all together with the band, that gave a different energy, because I didn't feel so much as this is my song. I felt like I'm a part of a body, like I'm the head of a body, but everything is needed to function. And so once they got their parts down and nailed down what the music is going to sound like, you know, Alex's favorite thing would be like, you know, you want to just go cut a scratch vocal? And I'm like, I don't believe in scratch vocals. Like, I want the first couple takes to be what it's going to be. You know what I mean? Because that's like the purest energy.
Mm-hmm.
You outrun, you're outrunning the inner critic before it starts to matriculate all of these thoughts. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, well, I should sing it like this, or this was flat, or this. Like, before all of that bullshit comes into the chat, what is the first thought when you're kind of nervous, you don't really know? Half the lyrics aren't even really there. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like,
that's when you let the spirit take over. And that really ushered in. I think that's where, you know, all of the records for the most part, the only one I really got to take my time on was Slow Burn, because the guy's flight was delayed. And so I had more time to work on that. But every other record was like in the moment. Mm. First two takes type shit. Like, because you don't want to waste tape either. You know, there's a tape shortage going on.
100%. So, yeah.
Fucking going over old takes. You can't be precious about anything. Like, gotta be like, it's going to be what it's going to be. That's why there's not really a lot of backgrounds and not really a lot of like, it's really the vocal and maybe 2-3 backgrounds. Like, keep it simple.
Mm. There is this quality to the EP as well that is, I think, classic as well without being traditional. It's that there's, what is the phrase? Like, almost like a beauty and simplicity, but it's obviously a very dense EP as well. So I think that's kind of where this magic lies with it. I was wondering, at the top of the interview, you said it seems like everyone has different favorite tracks, which you know you're onto kind of something good if it's well balanced. I was wondering if you might indulge me a little bit. I wanted to ask about one of my favorite tracks on the EP. I really liked Weakness. I thought it had this beautiful duality of like light and airy moments, but then some really, really funky bass moments as well. And having a look through the lyrics, it kind of had this nice metaphor between colors, days of the week. I was wondering, yeah, if you could talk us through Weakness.
So Weakness is one of the heavier records I've made. It doesn't have a standard structure of ABA fun. It's just one long kind of spelling out. I mean, it does go, it oscillates between on the first half, between this kind of like two sections or whatever. But for the most part, there's no hook. It's just the riff is the hook. Mm. And I'm spelling out the last week before the end of the most toxic relationship I've ever been in. I was low-key like abusive, and it was like I don't even, when I think back to it, it was really something that I can't even almost remember who I was or how low I had to be in that shit. Because it was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. It wasn't even that bad, like that long ago, but it was crazy. It was really volatile, really passionate, and really fucked up. And I just remember the last week because it was just everything kind of came to a head. Like, it was getting to this point where it was painfully clear that I couldn't be there anymore, or that this dream that I had of us, like the latter half of it is this me recalling all of the dreams that I would have about what it would be like, my idea of it, like my idea of the relationship and how I saw it, almost in this fantasy perspective versus the reality of it. And until it kind of dawned on me, like, no, like, what the fuck, like, look at what I'm in. This is stupid. This is not it. This is not supposed to be my story. And so it's a hard song for me to think about, because I feel like I've kind of buried that portion of my life so deep within me. But it was also, you know, my current partner that I'm in a relationship with helped me write that record. And so I don't even think he realized what it was about. But you know what I mean? But it was very healing to be able to have him spot me and hold my hand through that process, you know, of just really recalling it, you know, and kind of going through it, and just heavy, heavy, heavy shit, you know? But I'm very, very grateful to be able to have written something so visceral, and the music matches it. Like, the music matches the frustration and matches the, okay, Friday, the fight stopped a little, but Saturday was just fucked up. Like, just all of this off balance. Like, you know, the crescendo towards the end, that ending section, I basically freestyle a little bit. Like,
I didn't have all the lyrics for the bridge, the vamp, whatever we call it. And that was the first take. Like, when I went in to recut it again, it was just like, nah, I got to keep that. Like, whatever I was saying was just very much a chant thing.
Mm. It's an incredibly impressive track. So anyone listening to this podcast, please do yourself a favor and listen to the whole EP. But yeah, listen to Weakness. And thank you very much, Jasmine, for kind of sharing that with us. I did not fully understand the maybe some of the more serious parts behind that. So I appreciate you kind of delving into that with us and kind of sharing that with us.
You're shitting.
As discussed, like, I know that there was the second album, Through and Three, released last year. There's an EP this year. Obviously, the output from yourself is quite prolific. What is the plan for the coming 12 months? Obviously, we've got this EP. Are we going to see any dates in support of this EP?
I mean, yeah, we're definitely working on it. I mean, definitely coming out to Europe. Mm-hmm. Because I already, is the first date that I got booked for this year. And that's in London. And we figured, you know, might as well, while we're over here, like, go see more and go do a small run or whatever. So that's going to happen. I think I'll announce that soon once we lock in everything. And then, you know, I have a few festivals here and there, Montreal Jazz Festival, Hollywood Bowl Festival.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm just taking it as it comes. Right now I'm doing this thing where I have these speakeasy pop-ups happening where I keep it real low-key. It's like for the real fans. Like, mm-hmm. I have this little chat on Instagram with, you know, they can join my little, like, headquarters, Rosebud headquarters. So cute. And I'll put, like, things in there before, other, like, the masses know. There's probably, like, 700 people in there. And that's where I usually put, like, the speakeasies before I blast it wide so that they can, like, RSVP before anyone else. Because it's probably only 40, 50 people that we can let in. Like, we're finding legit speakeasies around the country. And, you know, playing to the record, talking through it, and allowing time for me to really connect with people one-on-one without the pressure of the whole song and the show and song and dance, you know what I mean? But now that it's out, I definitely am singing the record, which is really fun. I've been having fun doing that. And it's good because the one thing that I was super worried about was like, fuck, like, now that I have this, like, how am I going to perform this? Like, the band can't always be with me. Like, they're their own entity and they're in Toronto. And so I was really worried about it. And then out of nowhere, I was booked for this gig in around Coachella, like the speakeasy. Like, they made it to where it was like I couldn't say no. Like, it was too aligned. And I said yes before even knowing how the fuck I was going to do it. And I never do this, but I had a DJ and I had Kyla, who did horn arrangements. So David, who's my partner, he DJed. Because he's learning DJing currently, but the whole world is opening up for him. So it was fun as fuck. Like, he did a set, and then he DJed it. And then Kylo, who did horn arrangements on the record, just played, like, freestyled with me. And we're just sitting in a booth, like, just singing and drinking our drinks and having a good time. And it really allowed for me, like, for some of the folks, they drove 3 hours or so just to be there. You know, it really allowed for me to really connect deeply and have conversations with folks that have loved me for, or loved the music for real, like, forever. And I love those moments. Those are the moments that mean the most to me. And so I'm grateful to kind of, like, if the, you know, table isn't there, like, build one and just keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing is reaching people, really touching people, really connecting with people is what I really want to do. Oh.
100%. And I think there's always something, like, incredibly magical about, like, intimate kind of ideas, pop-up shows, gigs like that, because people remember those. People will be talking about those kind of things forever. Like it's one of those kind of really magical moments that you've created. So I love that. Look, hopefully if there's ever an opportunity, we would love to see a few of those down in here in Australia, but obviously fingers crossed.
Hell yeah. I've been wanting to come to Australia forever. It's so beautiful.
Have you been before?
Never had the opportunity to. So I'm looking forward to that happening either this year or next year. By the grace of God, that would be amazing to be able to come.
I will use this podcast to manifest this, put it out into the universe, and hopefully, you know.
It's manifest.
For sure. That would be great.
I was wondering, Jasmine, if you might. We usually wrap our episodes up by asking what our guests are currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's kind of on high rotation for yourself?
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny you asked that. I literally just posted a playlist. It's on my Spotify and it's on my artist page. It's called Slow Burn Radio. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a list of songs that I'm really fond of in the moment. Like there's this girl, Kara Jackson, that I love, Clairo, Willow, who's going fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And Krung Ben, who's been always a favorite of mine. And then, you know, there are people that I've been influenced by that are on this playlist. Like, John, I don't even know how to say
I don't even know how to pronounce it, but if you go on there, you'll see like artists that have been paving the path. You know, I love Aretha Franklin, what she did with the Muscle Shoals Band, with Aretha's Gold was really inspirational for me. And, you know, it goes on and on, but I made a playlist of like influences of mine and just songs that I really dig at the moment. And, you know, I'm just planning on updating it as I think of things or as I learn of more artists. But yeah, it's just really dope to see how much good music there is in the world. I know that there's a lot of talk about there is no more good music, but it's like, no, you just don't know where to find it. Like, so I really like enjoyed putting this together. I literally just put it out like 2 hours ago.
That's absolutely
nice
awesome
to get powered and stuff.
We will make sure that we link that playlist in the podcast show notes so people, after they listen to our chat, they can go listen to it. That, by the way, that Kara Jackson record is, yeah, stunning, incredible. So solid choices. She did. Yeah.
Yes.
So good. Jasmine, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and congrats again on the Slow Burn EP, the collaborative EP from Bad Bad Not Good and Baby Rose. It's out right now. But yeah, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.